on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, November 30th edition of InvestTalk, and we're here to discuss your money and how you save it, how you spend it, and most importantly, how you invest it. Now, our job is to help fill in the gaps in your money knowledge, and we all have them. Even I do. Even Steve does. Every investment professional has some gaps in their investment knowledge. Some things we just haven't really studied up closely on because there wasn't really a need or just haven't come across it or whatever it is. But usually for most professionals, hopefully, those gaps are rare and usually pretty small, or you know, it's not that big a deal that we don't know about those particular things. Okay? But for the average person, usually the gaps are numerous and wide when there is a gap. So our goal is to help you feel better about your decision making when it comes to investing, feel more confident about it by reducing those gaps, getting rid of as many gaps as we possibly can. And when we answer your questions, you know, we can we sometimes bring light to ideas that you haven't really been thinking about or you haven't really had exposure to. And so that's why, at least for me, when I get a call about an individual stock or something like that, I try to broaden it out into something that everybody can learn about. And there should be a key lesson, hopefully, if I did my job well, in every call that we have. Even if you don't care about the stock we're talking about, I know most of the calls are about individual stocks. And so pay attention, because there are always little things that you can pick up. And you know, we preach about knowledge on this show, and it's really about consistent knowledge. And pay attention to detail. And actually, most women are better, have more attention to detail than men. A new report carried in Reuters says women are better at stewarding their 401k plan, 401k account. And they're more likely to be in the game, meaning not only are women saving at higher rates within given income bands, but they are 14% more likely overall to participate in workplace savings plans. And as they say, saying goes, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and women just take more shots. The report also says, compared to men, women trade less, about a third less. Women also save more, at least as a percent of their income. Women 401k savers defer salary into plans at a rate 3% higher than men. That's pretty big. Considering the average person, or at least the recommendation, the average professional is going to say you should save 10 to 12% of your salary, and women save 3% more. So that could be, you know, quarter of the way to the goal. And that's true up and down the earnings scale, including lower wage levels. But wait, it gets worse for men. Reuters reports quoted another survey about hedge fund research company HFR. So the hedge funds run by women racked up 59% total returns since 2007 against 37% for the average fund. It's pretty interesting. But it also says that women are also more likely to say they know less than the average about finance and investing. So they're more humble. And humility is a key component in the characteristics of a successful investor. Understanding that you don't know what you don't know. It's one of my favorite sayings of my grandfather. You don't know what you don't know. It seems so simple, yet if you really understand it, it's very profound. You know, talk about the gaps in investing knowledge. You don't know where those gaps are until they're filled. And you know, that was a gap. I filled it. Right? And listening to shows like this, reading, doing research, that will help you fill those gaps. Many of them, most of them, you don't know exist. Okay? So our main goal here is to help you fill as many gaps as possible. Now, that was an article. Some of those stats are from an article from Reuters, like I said, by James Saft. Now, what money matters do you need to know more about? Let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, and you can give us a call, and whether it's live or after hours, and we will answer it on the next show. But we're going to go to a live call right now. We're going to talk to Brandon in Mill Valley. How you doing, Brandon?
Hi, how you doing today? Thanks
great
for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
So I own TGP, mm-hmm. and it's pretty much of a downtrend.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really crude oil people, but they're in that basket with them where they're getting treated like that. They're tankers. They do a lot of LNG, and they still have decent cash flow.
What's the symbol that you're looking at again?
Tom George Paul.
Oh, Tom TGP. Gotcha. Okay, I had TGT, which is Target, but okay. TGP, which is provides international marine transportation services for liquefied natural gas, crude oil, etc. Yields about 12.3%, and I'm assuming you're looking to get that nice 12.3% yield, right?
Yeah, well, I'm more concerned that they're going to be able to maintain it, which from what I can read and research, they are, but I'm wondering why the shares are still in a spiral.
Let me take a look. Yeah, I don't know why you think that they are going to maintain that dividend. That's it's pretty hefty. Their payout ratio is 170%. The last time it was in this region of payout ratio, it cut its dividend. They have a lot of debt, even though that debt is coming down, so that's helpful. They kind of fluctuate between positive and negative cash flow, free cash flow anyway. I'm not seeing the need for it. You know, they're transporting crude oil. And more of our oil that we're using here in America comes from America, right?
Well, so, their conference call indicates they're heavily into the LNG, and they've got the first terminal in the U.S. opening. They're transporting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that'll certainly help. That sounds like, is that in partnership with Cheniere Energy?
Yes.
Yes.
They're
okay.
Going to ship for Cheniere.
Yeah, so Cheniere and TGP, their chart looks pretty similar. So probably what you're seeing is now oil is cheap around the world. So now LNG becomes, I think, less competitive. I think that's what you're probably seeing here. I like the commodity space. I'll say that. I think it is cheap, and this stock in general, let me take a look at a couple figures real quick, is fairly cheap, I'll say that, but it's extremely high risk. I don't really like this space. I'd rather be in an oil service company, a company that makes drilling equipment, something like that, an integrated oil company, like a Conoco or something like that. But I'm just not a big fan of this. I really don't like it. They don't have a good history of consistent revenue growth, earnings growth. You know, revenues are down single digits, but earnings are down double digits. And it doesn't look like it's getting better, and their payout ratio is too high. So I think it's gonna. I think that that dividend is gonna come down. They're gonna have to cut their dividend. How much? I don't know. To me, this would be a very long-term play, and I would be, expect much more downside because that certainly is a possibility, and that's certainly what the chart is telling me. Fundamentally, it's okay, but it could turn around to tomorrow, or it can take many years. So this is a very, very high risk play, and be aware of that. And don't spec that 12% on a consistent basis going forward. Thanks, Brandon. Now, looking ahead, this December, Steve has two dates for individual portfolio reviews at two of our satellite offices in California. These are no cost, no obligation, informal meetings. Next, his next date is in La Jolla, in San Diego County on December 2nd. Then he's in San Ramon in Northern California on December 9th. And you can reserve your hour by clicking on schedule a meeting on investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through to ask your question on today's show. We have about 40 minutes left in the show, but try to get your call in sooner rather than later. Now, surprise, increasing exposure to bonds can actually increase your volatility, meaning increase your risk. Does that sound crazy? Everyone thinks, oh, bonds are safe. You increase the higher percentage you have of your portfolio in bonds, the lower risk you will be. Now, generally, that's true. Generally, the higher allocation you have to bonds, the less risk you're taking, less volatility you're going to have. But there is a point where too much bonds actually creates less return and more volatility. And we're talking about the mix between stocks and bonds. So we're going to talk about that on the show coming up. Two, I want to talk about Kobe Bryant's retirement. I'm a little biased, because I am a big Laker fan. I have season tickets. But I think there's some lessons to be learned. And I'm going to share his piece that he wrote in the Players Tribune. If you haven't heard it, it's pretty amazing. So I'll probably go over that. I also want to talk about Roth conversions. How to think about them. And you have a traditional Roth or even just a regular IRA, or sorry, you have a traditional IRA or a regular 401k, and you're thinking about converting those, one of those, or both, into a Roth, or part of it into a Roth. What should you think about? What are the factors to consider? So we're going to touch on that. And then the Chinese yuan is set to join the IMF currency basket. It was approved today. So what does that mean? Does that change your investment thesis thinking? I'm going to get to that coming up. Now, our Invest Talk anytime number is 888-99-CHART. My job each and every day is to answer your questions. The broader the topic, the better. You know, stock questions are fine, but try to think broadly, or even you can have an individual stock question, but maybe you have something more specific about that sector or asset class or whatever. So don't be shy. Give us a call. Ask your questions now. This is Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Were you able to stick with your plan this year for the long run? Is it time for adjustments or just steady as she goes? A year of weak returns for diversified portfolios. That's one of our talking points on Tuesday's podcast. Please join us then.
Hey, this is Nancy in Atlanta, and I am calling you because as an investment advisor, What would you advise a client who's been invested in a normally tax-efficient fund and then capital gains reports come out this year, and what's always been in the low single digits is now in the double digits? Just what's been going on in the portfolio, and what would you advise a client if this is taking place in a mutual fund? Thanks.
Well, it sounds like the capital gains distribution has already happened. So what's happening, what she's talking about in mutual funds, so I'm gonna talk broadly for everyone else out there. When you own a mutual fund in a taxable account, this matters. In a non-taxable account, you know, like an IRA, a 401k, doesn't really matter. But in a taxable account, it matters, because what it has is called potential capital gains distribution. Meaning the mutual fund has held certain positions for usually a long term, usually over a year. And when they sell them, guess who has to pay the capital gains tax on that? Well, the mutual fund investors. Now, sometimes those are gains that you didn't reap all the rewards from. You know, if there was a stock that was held in there for 5 years that they sold and took big capital gains on, but you'd only held the mutual fund for 2 years, well, you missed out on the first 3 years of the appreciation of that stock. But you're going to, when they pass that through as a capital gains to shareholders, you have to pay all of it, that whole gain, right? So what it will look like is, it looks like a dividend. You'll get money. But that's just money that you have to pay taxes on. And the price of the mutual fund will go down, etc. Can be a little complicated. But if it's already happened, there's not much you can do about it. You're going to pay capital gains on it, report it. It is what it is. Hopefully they got a lot of that out of the way. If you go to Morningstar.com, you look for what is called potential capital gains exposure. That's what you look for. And it's usually expressed in a percentage, 5%, 2%. Sometimes it's negative, meaning the fund has a lot of accrued capital losses. And for an investor going forward, that's a positive, because that fund can earn returns, take capital gains, and they can use old losses to offset them. So what's happening in that fund that you're talking about probably is they're selling off assets that they've held for a while and they have gains on. They're taking their gains. And that eventually is going to be passed through to shareholders. So if it hasn't happened yet, be wary and understand that could happen. If it already happened, it's too late. You're going to have to pay it if it's in a taxable account. Okay, that was a great question. Not something we talk about very often, but it's important if you're a mutual fund investor, and that's one of the things we talk about with ETFs. They're more tax efficient. They can have those capital gains exposure issues, but they're usually a lot less. And the reason is because the way they operate, if investors sell shares, they're not really selling. It's complicated. In a mutual fund, they have to actually sell shares if a bunch of investors liquidate, and that creates capital gains. Anyway, so let's get on to our talking point today. And it's about stocks and bonds exposure. And you talk about that typical 60-40 allocation. You know, that's a general rule of thumb that a lot of people like to go by and split their portfolio up between stock exposure and bond exposure. And typically, it's believed that the higher your bond exposure compared to stocks, the lower risk you're taking. And generally, that's true. For example, if you go from 90% in the S&P 500 and 10% in a bond index, the general bond index, to 60-40, you reduce your expected return just by a little, from 4.1% to 3.7%, which is not a giant drop. It's a modest drop, but their volatility difference is big. It's 1.06% for the 90% in the S&P versus 70% or 0.7% for the portfolio with 60% in the S&P. And that's a big difference in volatility. And as you increase your exposure to bonds, generally, the lower that volatility number is. But there is a limit to it. And that limit's about 75%. 75%. If you go over 75% in bonds and only 25% or lower in stocks, you actually reduce your return or expected return, but you also increase your volatility, unlike lower than 75%. So it doesn't make any sense. So when you're allocating for your portfolio, don't think that going over 75% in bonds is actually a safer thing. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up in the next half hour, Medicare doesn't cover everything. How are you going to pay for the rest? Coming up on Invest Talk Personal, give us a call. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
This is Invest Talk for Monday, November 30th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. We have another half hour left, plenty of time to weigh in with your question. Let's hear from you. This is Invest Talk.
Now, our phone is always open to your questions, whether you're new to investing or have a more complex question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. And Andrew called from Apple Valley.
Hey, I've got a question. I have a sister who's moving on to another job, and she has a 401k, so she's going to roll it over. Her husband also changed jobs a couple years ago, and he has a rollover IRA. Will she be able to put that her 401k money into his IRA so they can combine it? And also, over the next 5 years, if you had one stock to pick, what stock would it be or what sector would it be? Appreciate your answer. Look forward to hearing it on the internet. Thanks. Bye.
Well, the first question would be no, that you cannot combine husband and wife IRAs. That's individual to you on your own. Okay? So no, you can't combine them. If one, you can be the beneficiary. They each can be the beneficiary of each other's IRA, but you can't combine them. So she should roll that old 401k into an IRA, but you can't combine them. And then the next question is, what stock would I own for the next 5 years? The easy answer is Apple, but there's probably going to be a stock that's surpasses the Apple's performance over the next 5 years. What company that is? that's a great question. I can't really give you an answer. Call me up, give me an option, and I might be able to tell you whether I think that's a viable candidate. I'll say that. All right. Now I'm going to talk about something that's more personable to me, more personal, and there was some big news yesterday. And I'm going to talk a little bit about one of my passions. I play a lot of basketball. I play basketball throughout my life. And I'm a big Laker fan, Laker season tickets. You know, I grew up down here in California, Southern California. And Kobe Bryant announced he's going to retire at the end of the season. And I want to read his announcement because I think it's powerful. And it can be his passion and his love, I think, can be applied to a lot of different areas in life. So here it goes. Dear basketball, from the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul. As a 6-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court, After every loose ball for you, you asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and hurt, not because challenge called me, but because you called me. I did everything for you because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you made me feel. You gave a six-year-old boy his Laker dream, and I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My season can take the pounding. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad, we have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you always, Kobe. I thought that was powerful. Maybe I'm a little biased. But it just shows that level of passion and why he was so great. And you can apply that, like I said, to a lot of different areas of your life, including investing. You know, this is not a half-assed job. This isn't something that you can do just with a few minutes a week, or even a few hours a week. This is something that you have to have a passion for to be successful. Now, that doesn't mean it has to consume your entire life the way Kobe consumed Kobe, but it's something that you have to care about. Otherwise, it's not going to care about you back. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a question and your opinion about a stock called ITC.
Okay.
ITC Holdings.
ITC Holdings. They engage in the transmission of electricity from generating stations, looks like in the Midwest. So it's a utility, yields about 2%. What do you like about this? What's utilities are generally pretty boring. Most people aren't a big fan, and this doesn't have a huge yield.
Yeah.
So what is
it? It is having a pretty consistent run.
Mm-hmm.
Off late, it has shown some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think good dividend yield at the same time. So downside potential I see under an interest rate. I don't see what else can bring it down.
What it looks like is that it's up big. It's up 12% today because the company is considering selling itself. Okay, and usually when they sell through an acquisition, it's at a nice premium, right, to its what it trades at in the open market. And so that's why it's up big. So are you looking at it because of that, the recent move today up 12%, or are you looking at it for the company as a whole and the dividend, et cetera?
Yeah, company as a whole and dividend included.
Okay. It's certainly a good company. It's been growing its sales, but the sales growth has been decelerating. A year ago, that sales growth was in the mid teens, and that's pretty healthy. That's very healthy actually for a utility company. And revenue or earnings were up similarly, and that has started to come down. Right now, you're at a 17%. P/17 ratio. It's a little high for my taste, but I don't, you know, it's not going to scare me off. They have decent amount of debt, but it's utility, so their business is pretty steady. Businesses continue to grow. I like it. I actually like this company. I like its return on equity. I like its business. You know, the dividend isn't fantastic, but it has been growing its dividend on a pretty steady basis, and the payout ratio is pretty low. Now, after today's move, you know, you're probably going to give some of that back. But if it can get back, I would say below 35, maybe even below 36, I might pull the trigger. But I like what you're looking at. It's a good company. It's probably one of the best growers in the utility space. And for that, I like that because you're not really going to find a good growth in utilities. You're still going to get that dividend. It looks like it can grow, and it doesn't look overly expensive to me. My biggest worry is growth has started to decelerate, and is that something that's going to turn into negative growth? And I don't think so, because it is a utility, but it's something to watch, and will the market, and will it sell itself? Will it actually, there actually be a bidder for it? And I could see that happening as well. So I'm going to give it, I give it a solid B+.
Thank you, right. Sir. Thank you very much.
No problem, BJ. Thanks for calling. That was ITC Holdings. It's a Midwest utility company. Now it's time for Invest Talk Personal, the day-to-day choices we make that can have a lasting impact. Medicare. Remember, it doesn't cover everything. A lot of people want to rely on it in retirement to pay for their medical expenses, and it will cover a lot of things, but it doesn't cover all medical treatments. And there are services that won't be covered. Here's one example. Medicare won't cover routine eye exams, eyeglasses, dental care, or hearing aids. And Medicare only covers up to 100 days in a nursing home. And over the lifetime, you could be on the hook for significant costs if you really fall in poor health. Now, that's where a supplemental policy can come in. So it's private health insurance policies that help supplement Medicare if you go over or need services beyond the scope of Medicare. The gaps in Medicare coverage, as they might call it. Now, if you have original Medicare and Medigap policy, Medicare will pay its share of the Medicare approved amounts for covered healthcare costs. Then your private policy pays its share. It takes over. So it's something I think you should think about. And I think it's really it's not for everybody. I think it's really for the people that don't have a substantial amount of money saved. And if you do have medical issues, you don't really have anything to cover it. It could wipe you out. Right? And there's different levels. You know, do you want a lot of coverage above Medicare or you want a little bit of coverage? I think that depends on your health, your lineage, your genes, your lifestyle. Are you a healthy person or do you eat bad food and not exercise? If you're one of those, you're at higher risk for medical issues. If you're active all the time, you eat well, you exercise a lot, you're going to have lot less issues than the alternative. So everybody's situation a little different, but just be aware of that and understand it's an option that you should definitely explore. Now let's Invest Talk Personal. You have a question about Medicare? Let's talk about it. Check in now at 888-99-CHART, and this is Invest Talk.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. Look at the dynamic growth program, flexible management for optimum returns. And to find out more about any of the KPP investment programs, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Hi, I listen to your show by podcast, and I'd like to know about a stock, F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, X as in X-ray. It's Freeport McNamara, copper and gold. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. He's looking at Freeport McNamara. This is the largest copper miner in the world, a $9.4 billion market cap, but that's because it's fallen on hard, hard times, just like the rest of the commodity space. They're about going to lose 8 cents a share this year, supposed to make 85 cents next year, trading at $8 a share, yields about 2.4%. They recently cut their dividend from $1.25 a share to 73 cents a share. Their debt levels are increasing. That's an issue. Their cash flow levels are firmly negative. Their free cash flow levels, anyway. Revenues are down big. This is a company that's fallen on hard times. It's high risk, but I think long term it's going to pay off. I think Freeport has great assets. It's trading very cheaply right now. Everybody hates commodities, and I think we're closer to a turnaround in commodities than we are a continuation of the downtrend. Now, it certainly could continue. Don't let me fool you that there couldn't be more downside. There absolutely can. It's at 8. It could go to 4. It could go to 2. It could go to, you know, under a dollar. If it does, it means it's probably going bankrupt. But it's a high-risk, high-reward play. I mean, just a few years ago, this was trading at $60 a share back in 2011. Now it's at 8. So it's down almost 90% for one of the largest miners in the world. I think they'll survive, but it could be bumpy on the way. So be prepared. Understand that this is very high risk. Are you prepared for that risk? Is this money that you could lose 50% very easily. You could go to, like I said, could go to 8 to, from 8 to 4 like that. And that's just the nature of commodities. They're volatile. When things are great, they fly. When things aren't, they get hurt pretty bad. So that's just what you're dealing with right now. But I like it long term, and I think it will survive. That was Freeport McMoRan. FCX is the symbol. So let's talk a little bit about Roth conversions. Roth conversions, real quickly. Now, a lot of people ask, should I convert my IRA or my 401k to a Roth IRA? And there's a few things you have to ask yourself. First is, when are you going to need the money? If you're gonna take out that money in the next 5 or even 10 years, there's really no point in converting, because you have to pay that tax now. You're forcing yourself to pay a tax, and you're not growing that money now tax free going forward for very long. You want to be able to grow that for decades upon decades. Then number two is, what's your future tax bracket going to be? Are you going to low tax bracket now? If you're in a low tax bracket now, it might be a good time to do it, as long as it doesn't push you into the next tax bracket. Obviously, that's some strategy you have to work out with your accountant. And then, do you have the money to pay the tax? Remember, you could do the conversion, you have to pay the tax on it. If you don't have the money, don't do it. Okay, so those are three things to think about when you're looking at Roth conversions. Now, advice for those behind the curve on their college loan payments. Check out private payment plans. Private lenders tend to have a few choices for you that maybe better off.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. It's not enough to save enough for retirement. You need a plan to make that money last. Besides keeping the risk factor under control, you also need a strategy that gives you growth, because you need to stay ahead of inflation and taxes. You may need the services of a registered investment advisor and a financial advisor. You get both from KPP Financial. See their family of investment programs on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab.
I had a question about IPOs. Is it a good practice to at least put maybe, 1% or 2% of your money into an IPO? Or do you guys are against that altogether?
IPOs, a lot of people like IPOs, they get hyped about IPOs, but generally they're not good investments over the long term. They can be in the short term, but usually if you're getting your hands on them before they actually go public, it's probably not going to go up much in the first trading day. You know, that's usually where you get the big returns is, you know, it goes IPO at 20, meaning the shareholders or purchasers that buy it as an IPO before it's actually traded on the open exchange, they're getting at 20. And a lot of times it'll open at 40 or 45 or higher sometimes. You have huge returns, double your money. But most of the, and but that's rare, first of all. And if the average person is getting their hands on it, it means the big institutions haven't bought it. They're passing on it. So the investor demand is probably pretty weak. And it could actually fall. And I've seen that happen before many times. Starts at 20 and it opens up at 16. And that can happen. You know, GoPro, Fitbit, these Shake Shack, these are all recent IPOs and great examples of why buying overhyped stocks usually doesn't work out too well in the long run. Because when they're selling them, it's usually at a good valuation. Insiders are maximizing their exit. And usually in the first month or two, yeah, the stock will go up. A lot of times that's just because shares are locked up. There's not a lot of supply. And then as lockup periods end, well, now suddenly you have shareholders that are able to cash in. Smaller guys usually. Okay, so no, it's don't chase IPOs. If you do your research, understand the business, understand the valuation, and make sure you're getting a good price. Most of the time, most IPOs are not a good price. Let's talk before we close about the Chinese yuan, also known as the renminbi. It has been voted that it's going to be part of the IMF special drawing basket, currency basket for their special drawing rights. And it's going to join the dollar, Japanese yen, sterling, and the euro. And this was, the IMF created this to supplement its member countries' official reserves. It's kind of like diversifying the reserve holdings. And this is more political. It's more about political strength than it really is about China, any investment opportunity, I'll say that. I can't really find an angle to where this is going to give Chinese companies a leg up. I would say it might give them a little more stability of their economy if something poor happens. And that's it actually helped us here in America, our special drawing rights with IMF, during our financial crisis. So if China has a financial crisis, this could help them. But I don't think it's going to give you a great advantage on the investment front. There were a lot of Chinese stocks that were up. You know, Alibaba was up today. Sina was up today. The Chinese stocks generally were stronger than the market. And I think it'll be interesting to see if that's something that's consistent. Because I'm not seeing the translation to a boost in their economy because of it. But I'm going to keep studying this because it is kind of complex. And maybe there is a positive economically when it comes to growth that comes out of it. And if there is something, I'll certainly talk about it. Now our hour is up. Maybe there's a question that you didn't get a chance to ask during the program. You can still get it to us. Our anytime number is 888-99-CHART. Leave your question. We'll answer it on the next Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors,
Call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.